Praise God. Amen. Yeah. So hopefully by the time you come next week, we'll have new insulation and a new roof, and it's going to be amazing. Amen. And I just want to thank you. I know that when you walked in, the humidity's a little higher in here than we would like for it to be, but just recognize that it could have been a swimming pool today. Yeah, I think Chet called it a pimple over here. And it's dripping, but the baptismal is under it. And if things go right, we might just have a baptism service at the end of this. I don't know. So I'm just, but it's also Family Sunday today. Can we welcome Kids House, who's in the room with us? Praise God. Lori and her team do an incredible job each and every week, and we're just so thankful that they're in the house with us today. And man, you look good this morning. Before I get in the sermon, though, I want to address something. I want to offer to you a sincere and heartfelt apology to you as your pastor and as the one who speaks from this platform every single week. I made a commitment to you and to the Lord at the beginning of this year that I would, without apology, speak truth and preach the Word of God without trying to make it more palatable to our, to our taste. And that will not change. But the truth is, I do not need, and the Bible even warns of this, I do not need to work to make God's word and his truth more than it is, if that makes sense. And over the last few weeks, and even before, sometimes in an effort to be funny, sometimes in an effort to drive home a point, and sometimes when it was just a pure lapse of judgment. And I know none of you expect me to be perfect. I understand that, and I thank you for that. But I do know that you expect me to adhere to a certain standard as a pastor and a preacher of God's word. And I have at times crossed lines that have been contradictory to the will of God, to my own heart, and to the word of God. And I am sincerely and genuinely sorry for doing that. And I hope that you'll forgive me. And if you need to have a conversation with me, I'm open to that. If you need to come to me and talk to me about a situation, and I know that this is an apology to the entire body, but if I have caused you pain, if I have hurt you, that is not my heart, and that is not the Lord's heart. Now, if God's word hurts you, that is my heart. I'm going to be honest with you. But if my words hurt you, that is not my heart. And I hope you'll forgive me, and I hope you know that I love you, church. And I hope you'll pray for me, because, listen, my goal, to the best of my ability, as God helps me and strengthens me, is first and foremost, there's some more manna. Watch your head over there. First and foremost, Sierra, it's coming for you. Sorry, I get easily distracted. I can't help that. I don't know that that's going to change. My heart, number one, is to honor the Lord with my life. Like, I really want to do that. And I'm, as the Apostle Paul said, if my goal were to please people, then I would not be Christ's servant. But my goal is to help people. And there have been times where I have done more hurting than helping. And one more time, I'm sorry. And I love you. You deserve better. And even if you haven't been offended, and even if you don't, maybe you even think that this is out of line, I hope you understand that this apology is still for you, because you deserve better from me. You deserve better from your pastor. You deserve better from your church. And as God helps me and strengthens me, I give you my word, you're going to get better. I love you, Lifehouse. Today we're going to take a short break from the life of David in honor of Family Sunday, and also because a couple of weeks ago, I guess it was just a little over a week ago, we went to this men's conference in Goodlettsville, just north of Nashville, and the speaker, he got up and he talked about how, I don't know, Max, was it 5 years ago he said that he had, I don't even know how to say the word, quintuple? What's the word for five? Quadruple plus one. Bypass heart surgery. And after the surgery, the doctor comes in to talk to him. And instead of saying things went great, he said, we did the best we could. Which is, you know, not really what you want to hear doctors say. And so he kept talking, and he talked about how from that moment on, he made the commitment that he would live no wasted days. And the Lord just kind of struck my heart with that phrase, no wasted days. You were there, Brian. You remember that? No wasted days. I had a brand new journal with me that I pulled out, and I didn't write anything under it, but I just wrote at the top of the first page. Felt like a good thing to start off with in a new journal. No wasted days. And so over this past week, I have taken that thought to the Lord because I think he kind of nailed that home in my own heart. And I've asked the Lord to help me with a message. And so we're taking a little break from the life of David. We'll get back to it next week. I'm just going to tell you on the front end, this is a very simple message. There are no hidden deep theological truths. But whether you are young, maybe you're in here from Kids House, maybe you're a little older, maybe whatever. I don't know where you are in your life, but I do know the truth of God's heart for you is this, that you would live with no wasted days. Amen? That you would live with no wasted days. Let's go to Psalm 90, verse 12. I should have told you that earlier. It's on the screen, but if you got your Bible, you can go ahead and go to Psalm 90, verse 12 as well. Praise God, the rains came, but it looks like the TV decided to stop blinking. 1080p, baby. That's what I heard. Can we stand as we read God's word together? Just one verse. This is a psalm of Moses, which is interesting to me because Moses lived to be 120 years old. But Moses did know what it was like to have some wasted days. Sorry, Paul, can you not see it too easy? I see you squinting there. And so this is what Moses says in Psalm 90, verse 12. He says, teach us to realize the brevity of life, or in other words, how quickly life can pass you by, so that we may grow in wisdom. I think it's very unfair that the older you get, the more you realize how fast time goes by, the faster time seems to go by. I feel like it should be reverse order of that, right? When I was a kid, man, days would crawl by. You know, in my 20s, I would be looking forward to certain things, and it seemed like it would take forever. But, you know, now I guess I'm middle-aged. That's weird, right? Time does not crawl anymore unless I'm doing a plank. And at that point, it just stops. I don't do a lot of those, so it goes by pretty fast. Teach us to realize how fast life is moving so that we may live each and every day with a heart of wisdom before the Lord. And wisdom is not knowledge. It is the application of knowledge. Because it doesn't matter how much you know. What matters is what you do with what you do know. Can I get an amen? Amen. When we understand how precious and fleeting this life is, James says that your life is like a vapor, like a mist in the air that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. Once we begin to realize how precious, but also how fragile and how fleeting life is, it empowers us to live with a heart of wisdom in the Lord so that we can treasure each and every moment as the gift that it is that God has given us. Because God wants us to live with intentionality. He wants us to live with purpose, and he wants us to live with joy. And ultimately, that is the recipe to no wasted days right there. Intention, purpose, and joy. So how can we start living today, March 16th, 2025, the day after the storm, right? How can we begin today living in such a way that we do not waste another gift that God has given us, another day that God has given us? Father, we love you and we thank you for the word of God, which breathes life and refreshment to our souls. We pray and we ask, Lord, that by the Spirit of God, that you would empower us today to receive your word, to receive your truth, God, to take it to heart, that transformation in us, through us, and around us would occur. And God, that you above all else would be honored, and God, that we would receive the transformative work that you want to do in us. And we pray it all in the strong name of Jesus, and Lifehouse shouted, amen, amen, amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. And I just also want to apologize that if you get dripped with water, I see some towels being gotten. Just receive that as just the Lord just pouring his love out on you. Maybe. I don't know. But next week, we're going to have a brand new roof in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. How do we live with no wasted days? I've already given you the disclaimer. This is simple. But if you will take this, if you will apply this, I encourage you to write these points and these thoughts down. If you would begin to apply this into your life, I can assure you that even though this is a simple message, it is not something that we should just glance over. Because how many of you understand that a lot of times it's the foundational things that really make the difference? It's the simple things that really make the difference if we'll apply them to our life. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. So the best way to ensure that we live with no wasted days, first and foremost, is that we start each day with God. I know, elementary, fundamental, foundational, right? It seems simplistic, but can I just tell you, I cannot think of a more important thing for me to tell you when it comes to living each day with intentionality, when it comes to living each day with purpose, and when it comes to living each day with the joy of the Lord, which according to God's word is our strength, right? And we don't need to be weakened because of a lack of joy. We don't need to be wandering because of a lack of purpose. And we don't need to be confused because of a lack of intentionality. And the first and foremost greatest way that we can ensure that we do not waste another day that God gifts to us is to start that day. And again, I know it's simple, but it's so true and it's so important, is that we start that day with God. Start that day with the Lord. Psalm 118, 24 says, "This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." This is the day. Can I tell you, when I walked into this building at 6:30 this morning, and I was afraid to turn these lights on because I didn't know if they was going to fry as soon as I flipped the switch. And I walked over there and I saw that water, and I walked over about where Brady is sitting and I saw the water there. And as I was walking, it took me a little bit to get to the point where I could say, "This is the day the Lord has made and I will rejoice and be glad in it." But I got there. Listen, you might wake up tomorrow morning and you might have a cough, you might have a sniffle, or in all sincerity, you might be facing some things that day or this coming week or in your life that make it difficult for you to recognize that God is in the midst of every single day, even when you don't see it, even when you don't feel like it. But some point in your life, you've got to make up your mind that I will not function by my feelings. I will function by my faith in the Lord God Almighty. I will not be controlled by what I see, I will be controlled by who I know. This is the day the Lord has made. Every day when you wake up in the morning, that is the day the Lord has made. Then you get to make the choice to rejoice and be glad in it. Because here's the deal. If you are looking for reasons to not rejoice, they will always be there. Can I tell you that there is no such thing as a perfect life? There is no such thing as an easy existence. There is no such thing as everything just being done for you and you face no challenges, no problems, no pain, and no difficulty. In fact, I would even offer to you that sometimes God allows those things into our life because he sees what is on the other side for us and in us if we will face those with faith in him and rejoicing despite what we see and what we feel. Can I get an amen? Carpe diem, it's Latin for seize the day. I remember hearing that when I was in high school. We had a motivational speaker come in. And he talked about carpe diem, seize the day. And he talked all about how making the most of each day. And it's used in our culture to encourage us to seize opportunities. But the difference between this is the day the Lord has made and seize the day is often driven by self-fulfillment or pleasure. In other words, make the most of the day before the day passes you by. And it's not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily wrong, but I would submit to you that it is incomplete. Psalm 118:24 recognizes that every single day is intentionally made and gifted to us by God. And its emphasis is not self-centered, it is God-centered. And its rejoicing is not based on the circumstances around us, but it is based on the steady trust in God and his faithfulness and his love and his mercy. Amen? Imagine that someone gave you an unexpected, beautifully wrapped gift, right? Someone that you trust, not like, you know what I mean? Not some crazy person, whatever. Someone that you know, someone that you trust, someone that you have no reason to expect negativity from, right? And they give you this beautiful gift, right? And it's beautifully wrapped and you pick it up and it's even heavy, right? Because you know if it's heavy, that means it's good. Or it's a bunch of books or some bricks or something, right? You would not go and take that gift and set it on a shelf and leave it there and forget about it. You would take that gift, and I imagine as soon as you had the opportunity, you would open that gift up and you would discover what is inside of that wrapping so that you can use it and enjoy it because someone gave it to you for a reason, and they gave it to you because they love you. They gave it to you because they want this good thing for you. Each day, I want you to understand, is God's gift to you, and I want to encourage you, Lifehouse, to open it with joy, open it with gratitude. Don't put it off to experience his goodness until tomorrow, but open that day up by spending time in his presence so that you can enjoy that day to the fullest, no matter what is going on around you. Carpe diem says, live today as tomorrow may never come. Psalm 118:24 says, live today because it's given to you thoughtfully by a God who loves you and wants good for you. And this shifts our daily living from mere enjoyment or urgency into gratitude, into purpose, and into joy that is rooted solely in Jesus, who is our firm foundation. Come on, say amen if you believe that. Amen. Start each day with God. For parents, because this is Family Sunday, this means that we resist to let the busyness of the day, we resist the temptation to let the busyness of the mornings rob us from time with the Lord. We resist the temptation to let all the things that we've got to get done from leading us to helping our family spend a few minutes with God as well. Amen. I want to encourage you parents to take advantage of the mornings to invest that time with your family, invest that time with one another if you're married, and if you don't have any kids, invest that time in yourself as you spend time with God. Teenagers, you got any teenagers in the house today? Come on, yell at me, say something to me. All right, yeah. Hey, listen, I know, listen to me, and I mean this with nothing but love. I know that waking up early is not fun. And all the parents even said, amen. Amen. But I want to encourage you now, teenagers, to start building habits today that will be a blessing to you as you get older. Can I just encourage you? Start building those habits today that will be a blessing to you as you get older by getting up in the morning, making sure that you have time set aside for you to spend with God in prayer, in His Word, because this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. And we got some kids in the house today. Kids' house, where are you at? I just want you to know you ain't off the hook either. If you're old enough to operate technology, right? You're old enough to start your day with the Lord. Can I get an amen? And all the moms and dads said, amen. All the kids said, oh me, right? When we begin each day with God, no day will be wasted because He is there guiding each and every step of the day. And ultimately, the end goal of every single day is not to necessarily earn a paycheck or to have fun or to do the things that we normally put on our to-do list. But the goal of each and every single day that we have is to end it looking a little bit more like Jesus than we did in that morning. That's the goal. Everything else falls under that primary purpose of each and every day. If I can end this day looking and living and thinking and speaking and behaving a little more like Jesus than the way I started this day, then this day has been a successful day. This has not been a wasted day. Yeah, everything may not have worked out the way I wanted it to. In fact, I can just about assure you that most days when we, you know, leave the house at least, right? Most things are not going to go exactly to your preference or to your plan. But if you start your day with God and you keep the will of God and the plan of God and the purposes of God in mind, you choose to rejoice regardless of the circumstances, right? Because your joy is not rooted in your feelings. Your joy is rooted in the Lord. Everybody said amen, right? And you end that day looking a little more like Jesus. Hey, that's a good day right there. Come on, I think that's worth a praise celebration right there. That's a good day. We start each day with God. That's number one, to how do we don't waste any days. Number two, everybody say number two. We live each day with purpose. When we give our lives to God, He gives our lives purpose. And can I just tell you, to the teenagers, to the kids, and if you're older in the house today, you don't have to be an adult. You don't have to be young. You don't have to be middle-aged. I don't know. Right? To have purpose. Listen, if there is breath in your body, God has put purpose on your life. I'm going to say it again. If there is breath in your body, God has put purpose on your life. Every single one of you are here today, you have God-given purpose on you. It doesn't matter what job you have. It doesn't matter what skill set you have. It doesn't matter what your talents are. It doesn't matter that you come from a certain type of family. It doesn't matter what your skin color is. It doesn't matter what your nationality is. It doesn't matter how much money is in your bank account. What matters is that you are a child of God and He has put purpose on your life. So we live each and every day with purpose and on purpose because God has given us purpose. Paul says in Ephesians 2:10, he says, "For we are God's masterpiece." Some translations, we use the word workmanship. We are the work, we are the product of God's meticulous labor over us. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things that He planned for us long ago. You are God's masterpiece, which implies that you are not the product of random chance or coincidence. I know we live in a culture where things like evolution are taught and we talk about, and I'm not really trying to get into that, but one thing that theory unintentionally communicates is that everything is by chance and everything is by coincidence. There is no purpose, there is no design, but you need to hear me today. You were created on purpose, for a purpose, by God Almighty. You are not the product of chance. You are not the product of coincidence. No, regardless of whatever circumstances that brought you into this world, and some of us in the room, myself included, we got some shady reasons for being here today. Can I just be real with you now? I can't talk about all of it because that's being recorded, but we got some shady reasons that got us here. But I want you to understand, in the heart and mind of God, you were never an accident. You were never a mistake. You were made by Him, for Him, for His purposes in Christ Jesus, on purpose and for a purpose. Can I get an amen? Every single part of who you are, your personality, your gifts, your passions, they were thoughtfully woven together by your Creator, God Almighty. Now, there might be some things that the Lord is working on you, changing about you. You know, I don't think, I want to say this, you know, you can't act like a jerk and say, well, that's just how I am, and that be okay. That's not how that works. You can't be rude and mean and say, well, that's just my Enneagram number. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all think I'm talking about voodoo up here when I say that. Right? No, that's not how that works. Because there are parts of your life that have been tainted by sin, right? And God is renewing your mind. He's making you new again. We've been created, and we're going to read it again. We've been created anew in Christ Jesus, right? So, yes, God made me the way I am, but He's also remaking me to be more like Jesus. Come on, that's good preaching right there, even though I said it. God did make you to be who you are, but He is also remaking you. A good church word we don't use enough, we could probably stand to use a little bit more, is sanctification. In the church I got saved in, we'd have testimonies on Sunday night, and they got a little hairy sometimes. We don't do that because of my experience with that. I'm just going to tell you straight up. I love you, but I want to hear what you have to say before I blindly give you a microphone. Poor Mr. Charlie. Never mind, I can't say it. Kristen knows. But there was these people, they usually sit on the first two rows, and Lori knows what I'm about to say. They may not have anything specific they were going to share in terms of like a specific testimony, but they would stand up, and they would say, Pastor, I just want to thank the Lord tonight that for 40 years of my life, I've been saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. And next thing you know, people start stomping and shouting, and bobby pins start flying. And 30 minutes later, we don't even know what just happened, but the Holy Ghost had done fallen in that place. Saved, sanctified, set apart for God's purposes, right? God made me who I am, but He is remaking me into the perfect image of His Son. And He's remaking you into the perfect image of His Son. Amen, somebody. I want you to hear me this morning that you are valuable beyond compare. If the elements of your body, and this is kind of a weird thing to think about, but it's fun too. If the elements of your body, which is mostly nitrogen and carbon, were somehow... this is strange to say, pulled out of your body, it might be worth about $5 to $10. If you, I can't believe I'm about to say this, this is weird. If your organs were harvested, you'd be worth $5 to $10 million, right? Some of y'all thinking about, I can get out of debt. I don't need both these kidneys. Right? How do you need a whole liver? It's funny, but it's true. At least according to Google, it's true. right then and there, like, wow, I'm pretty valuable. But you know, in the heart and mind of God, you're even more valuable than $5 to $10 million. In the heart and mind of God, you were worth Jesus. Come on, I know it's an oldie, but my God, it's a goodie. John 3:16, for this is how God loved the world. He gave. Look at your neighbor and say, God gave. He gave his one and only son so that everyone, look at your neighbor and say, that means everybody. Look at your other neighbor and say, that means you too. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal, everlasting life. I think, listen, this ain't for me. This is for the Lord. Can we just take 10 seconds and praise God for the gift of salvation? Come on. It's worth praising the Lord over. You are a masterpiece. You are worth Jesus to your heavenly Father. Secondly, you've been created brand new in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul told us. You've been created anew. God hasn't just created you once physically. He's also given you a new birth spiritually. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, anyone, look at your neighbor one more time and say, again, that means you. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, the new life has begun. That means that my identity is not simply rooted in what I can accomplish. My identity is not rooted in my failures. My identity is not rooted in anything that this world has to offer me or anything that I can offer this world. My identity and your identity and our identity is rooted in Christ Jesus alone. He's the one who's chosen you. He's the one who's forgiven you. He's the one who is redeeming you. He is the one who makes all things new again. And he's done this, Paul told us in Ephesians 2:10, he's done this for the good things that he planned for us long ago. Again, God's purpose for your life is not accidental. It has been carefully designed and prepared for you even before you were born. God has placed divine assignments on each and every one of our lives. And he is asking each and every one of us to actively participate in his plan for our life and his plan for the world by submitting ourselves to his lordship so that he can live in us and so that he can be shown through us. That's what it means to live for Jesus. Every kind word you speak, every time you stand up for truth, every time you show generosity, every time you use your skills, your talents, your passions for the Lord or to help people or to promote the kingdom in some capacity, every time you tell someone about Jesus, you are living with purpose on your life. And it's even beyond that, because even when you're doing the things that seem mundane and seem ordinary and are just routine, because your life has been submitted to the lordship of Jesus, everything you do is worship unto the Lord. Everything you do is worship unto the Lord. I know this is kind of a corny illustration, but in front of my house right now, I don't know what the flowers are called, and I'm terrible with that, but there's these plants that came up. I didn't plant them. I don't even think my wife planted them. They were there when we moved in, and they're resilient because we don't take care of them. I cut them over with a lawnmower, honestly, at some point, and I get yelled at, but that's a different story. That's for the marriage conference later this month. Those flowers, those plants, they come up and they bloom. And I know this is a little corny, but do you know that when those flowers produce their fruit, even as simple as it is, even as ordinary as it is, even as mundane as it is, even as seemingly insignificant as it seems, that in that moment, those plants are glorifying their Creator. Do you know why they're glorifying their Creator? Because they're doing one of the things that their Creator designed them to do. Can I just tell you, like this, again, a little weird here, a little corny maybe even, but when you do simple things like enjoy a meal, when you enjoy time with your kids, when you enjoy time with your spouse, do you know that even in those moments when, and I say this sincerely, even when your heart and your mind isn't necessarily thinking about the Lord, that's okay to say, right? Because I think we're all guilty of that. We're not walking around constantly thinking about the Lord. I think it would be good to remind ourselves as often as possible. But But do you know that even when you're not thinking of the Lord, but you're doing things like that with your family, when you're just living your normal life, do you know that even in those moments, you're living a life of worship unto the Lord because you're doing the things that God created you to do? See, it's a different perspective, right? I can live every day with purpose because I realize everything is worship. Everything is worship. There's no wasted days in the kingdom. There's no wasted mornings. There's no wasted evenings. Even when I lay my head down to sleep at night and I go to bed, I am honoring and worshiping the Lord because God created me to rest. He even modeled it himself. Amen, right? He modeled it himself. And so even in my resting, I am worshiping the Lord because I am participating in something that he created and designed me and foreordained me to do. And it's not, living each day with purpose is not so much about changing the things we do. And it may involve changing some of the things we do, but it's more about changing the mind and the heart and the mentality behind the things that we do. And recognizing that every day is a gift that God has given me and I'm going to live it on purpose for the Lord, right? And even in the mundane things, like I understand that God created me to live in this capacity, so everything is worship. I don't even have to be singing a song. I can even, I know this is going to be crazy. Some of y'all's minds are going to get blown. I can even be singing a non-Christian song and be worshiping the Lord. Not because the lyrics of the song are worshipful unto God, but if I'm singing Let It Go with my daughters in the living room, how many of you know that my Heavenly Father's heart is rejoicing? Let it go. I probably need to let it go. You were made on purpose and for a purpose. So live each and every day on purpose and with a purpose. Come on, can you get one more amen for me? Is this okay? Number three, how do we live with no wasted days? We end each day with gratitude. We start each day with God, we live each day with purpose, and we end each day with gratitude. I'm gonna tell you what, I'm gonna end this sermon with gratitude that we was able to have church today, right? I'm gonna end this day thanking God for this moment that we've had together, despite the storms, despite the trials and the difficulties. I'm gonna end this day with gratitude. First of all, because my source of joy is not rooted in the situations around me, it's rooted in the Lord, right? But I'm also gonna end this day with gratitude, understanding that God has protected us, he's helped us, he's guided us, he's provided for us, and that's not just us, but the church. If you're here today, you're here today because at some point in your life, God did not give you what you deserved. You're here today because God gave you mercy when you deserve judgment. You're here today because God gave you grace when you deserve condemnation. You're here today because God gave you love when you deserved wrath. I think that's worth another time of shouting and hooping and hollering right there. Paul tells the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, and if Don can come up and play keys for me, he said, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for your life. Can I tell you this morning that gratitude is not conditional? Gratitude is not reserved only for the days when life feels perfect and everything goes smoothly. Paul calls us, the Word of God calls us to gratitude in all circumstances, which include hard, difficult days, mundane, boring days, or some of the worst days you've ever experienced. Now recognize, that's a lot easier said than done, isn't it? I do. I understand that. But the way that you can have gratitude in all circumstances, at least the way you can start having gratitude in all circumstances, is reminding yourself in those moments when life is hard, reminding yourself that life is not always good, but God is. It rains on the just and the unjust alike. Job says, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. My gratitude to God is not conditional on the gifts that I've received from God. Because the hard truth is, and this is a hard truth, that if God never gives me another blessing, that if God removes his hand of favor from my life, if he takes every good thing away from me, but he still gives me himself, he's still given me more than I deserve. Gratitude is not conditional. Gratitude, secondly, aligns us with God's will. It's not just a good habit. It's God's will for our life. And here's a question that you need to ask anytime we're talking about the will of God. You need to ask yourself, why is this God's will for my life? And always, in some way or another, the answer is going to be the reason this is God's will for your life is because God knows what's best for you, and his will for your life is the thing that is best for you. How many of you in the room with Family Sunday again? How many of you have got kids that don't like to eat vegetables? How many of you don't like to eat vegetables? Right? Listen, if my children, if I said, listen, today you can just eat whatever you want to eat, and we don't even, yeah. I see Julia, I don't even see, there's Olivia right in front, yeah. They're like, please, Dad, that's a great idea. If I said, listen, the freezer's full of ice cream, the pantry's full of cookies and chips and all these things, and you can just, there it is again. I'm sorry, easily distracted. I can't help it. Y'all pray for me, okay? And I said, girls, you can just eat whatever you want to eat today. They would love that idea, wouldn't you, Jay Bird? Yeah, that's what we call her, by the way, Jay Bird. She, you would like that, wouldn't you? You're thinking, this is going to be a good day. Maybe we should try that today, right? But you know why I don't let my kids do that? You know, it's not because I want to keep good from them. It's because I want good for them. Now, they don't always realize that. They may never, I don't know. I don't know if they ever realize that. Is it falling again over there? We got wind blowing. It's okay. Y'all just look at me. Look at me. I saw your eyes, Anita. God's will for your life is what it is, not because he's trying to keep good things from you, but because he loves you so much, he's trying to give the best stuff to you. And he recognizes that us having a heart of gratitude, regardless of the circumstances, it's not about him just trying to give us a rule that we need to follow that's really difficult to follow. It's actually him saying, you having a heart of gratitude is really good for you. And you may not realize it. You may not understand it. Even in the middle of the most difficult of circumstances, maintaining a heart of gratitude will help you. It will bring healing. It will bring compassion. It will bring something to you that you need. And because God in his goodness, not God in his hard-heartedness or God in his trying to make things difficult for us, but in his goodness, he calls us to live with gratitude each and every day. And thirdly, gratitude reveals trust in God's power, reveals trust in God's sovereignty. Being thankful in every situation reflects that our trust is in God's goodness, God's power, and God's presence more than it is the circumstances around us that we cannot control. It's a declaration of faith that God is at work in my life, even when I do not fully understand the circumstances that I am currently in. And we've been called to walk by faith and not by sight. Parents, I just want to encourage you, maybe start a habit in your home of sharing some things that you're thankful for before you wind down for the night. Maybe at the dinner table, maybe during your bedtime routine. Share with your kids things that you're thankful for. Lead the way, model the way of gratitude in your home. And ask your kids, hey, what are you thankful for today? And if they say ice cream, just roll with it, because that's pretty good too. Any kids thankful for ice cream today? Any big kids thankful for ice cream today? Amen. Teens, children, listen, I want all Kids House kids, I want all teenagers looking at me real close, because the adults know this, even though we don't always remember we know this. Most things in life, now this is going to be kind of hard, but you need to hear me. Most things in life are not going to always go your way. You're going to face unfair circumstances. You're going to face unfair situations where someone else has hurt you or done something, or maybe where a situation, it just is what it is, because we live in a broken world. I've heard it said, you know, obviously this is kind of a funny statistic because it's not provable, but I think the essence of it is very true, that most of life, 90% of life, is what happens to you, and 10% is how you respond. And that's really what we can control. So young people, I want to encourage you right now, go ahead and start making up your mind that most of the things that happen in my life, they are outside of my control. But the things that happen in here, they are well inside my control. And I can control how I'm going to respond. And one of the ways I'm going to respond when life happens, when bad things happen, when hard things happen, is I'm going to respond with a heart of thankfulness and gratitude to God, because every day He's given me is a gift. And the greatest gift He can give me is Himself, and that is the one thing this world can never take away from me. And for the older generations in the room, model the way, show the way, lead the way. Use your life as a testimony to show those who are younger than you, who haven't learned some of the lessons that you've learned, that God is for you and not against you. That He is with you and He will never leave you nor forsake you. Model the way that when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know that the Good Shepherd is there with you. That His rod and His staff, they protect and they comfort you, right? And He will lead you to rivers of still water and to pastures of green grass. Come on, that's worth shouting about right now. Parents, I want to encourage you to model it for your children. And those of you in the house right now, maybe your kids aren't living at home, model it for Lifehouse. Model it for your spiritual children in the house today. Come on, is that worth an amen? I want to invite you to stand. I think we're good. Don't say that. It'd be really bad, but some of y'all would love to see water just poured in on me, wouldn't you? Yeah. I hope you leave disappointed. That'd make me sad. Don would have mixed feelings. Yeah, we can do it that way. Moses, inspired by the Holy Spirit, said, "Teach us to realize the brevity of life, so that we may grow in wisdom." Life for all of us, and I'm not trying to bring things down, but this is wisdom. It is short and unpredictable. No day past this day, no moment past this moment is promised to us. And I want to encourage you to start each day with God. Live each day with purpose and end each day with gratitude. And I can assure you, regardless of what you may have accomplished throughout that day, regardless of how much money you may have made or spent that day, regardless of what situations or circumstances you face that day, if you begin the day with God, if you live the day with purpose, and you end the day with gratitude, you will live no wasted days until you see Him face to face. Come on, one more time, shout to the Lord. Amen. I want to take one moment with every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're in this room today and you're far from the Lord, but you're ready for that to change. You're ready to experience His love, His grace, and His redeeming power that takes everything the enemy has meant for evil and turns it for good. Maybe you have had a relationship with the Lord in the past, but since that time, you've walked away from it. Or maybe you've just never truly committed your life to Jesus. Today is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're in the house today and you walked into this place far from the Lord, but you want to walk out of this place in life-giving, life-redeeming relationship with God, right where you are standing, would you lift your hand real high in the air so I can pray with you? I see you, bro. I see you, ma'am. I see you. Is there anybody else? Anybody else? I see you, my friend. Is there anyone else? I see you, buddy. Oh, thank you, God. Thank you, God. 5-6 hands going up. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for my brothers and sisters, God, that you would touch them and minister to them and move in their life in a transformational and powerful way. Lifehouse, can we pray this together out loud as a church family, all together, all across the room? Heavenly Father, thank you for your love. Thank you for grace. Forgive me of my sin. Be Lord of my life. I want to live for you every day on purpose, ending it with gratitude. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can we celebrate the Lord in this place today? We love you. We love you. We love you, Lord, and I love you, Lifehouse. God bless you. Let me pray our priestly prayer over you this morning as you leave. And I'll be around if you would like prayer, if you'd like to talk, I'm available to you. But I pray as you leave today that the Lord would bless you and protect you, that the Lord would smile on you and be gracious to you, that God would show you His face, and that He would give you peace, peace that passes all understanding. And may it be so in the strong name of Jesus. And Lifehouse said one last time, amen. Amen. God bless you, church family. Just pray that this holds up, and when you come back next week, it's going to look brand new again. Love you. Be blessed in Jesus' name.